We're reading from Zohar for All, portion Vayechi and Yaakov Lives. Article, and Israel saw Yosef's sons. Article 366, item 366, sorry. Ask questions on Kab.TV. Questions based on the topic of the lesson will be asked during the lesson. Zohar for All, portion and Yaakov Lives. Article, and Israel saw Yosef's sons, item 366. And Israel saw Yosef's sons and said, "Who are these?" It is written, and the eyes of Israel were dim with age, and he could not see. If he could not see, what is? And Israel saw, he saw Yosef's sons in the Holy Spirit, referring to Yerovam and his friends. Yerovam made two golden calves and said, "These are your gods, O Israel." This is why Yaakov asked, "Who are these? Who is the one who is destined to say, 'These are your gods,' to idolatry? It is written about that, and Israel saw Yosef's sons." 367. Righteous see things before they come to the world, because the Creator crowns them with His crown. The Creator sees far ahead, as it is written, "And God saw all that He has done." This is so because the Creator sees all the deeds before they are done, and they all pass before Him. 368.
Let's try to influence our friends so that they will have the right thoughts. Everybody should want all of us to have the right thoughts.
368. All the generations of the world, from the end of the world to the end of the world, stand before Him before they come into the world. Before they come down, all the souls that come down to the world stand before the Creator in the form they appear in this world and are called by their names. As it is written, He calls them all by name. The Creator shows the righteous all the generations of the world before they come and are present in the world. The Creator showed Adam HaRishon all the generations before they came, as it is written, "This is the book of the generations of Adam." He showed him all the generations that were destined to come into the world. It was the same with Moshe, as it is written, "And the Lord showed him all the land." The Creator showed him all the generations in the world, all the leaders in the world, and all the prophets before they came into the world. 370. Here too, "And Israel saw Yosef's sons," meaning that he saw far ahead how they were destined to commit idolatry, and he was shaken and said, "Who are these?" This compliments both for Yerovam, who said, "These are your gods, O Israel," and for asking about Menashe and Ephraim. To that, Yosef replied and said, "They are my sons, whom God has thus given me," meaning they are kosher, fit, qualified, proper. However, he did not reply to him about Yerovam and his friends. And the Creator pointed to Yerovam and his friends, since it is written, "And lo, God has also shown me your seed." The word "also" comes to multiply those generations that came out of him. Adikul, and he blessed Joseph. Adam 3:71. And he blessed Yosef. We find no blessing for Yosef here, that Yaakov blessed Yosef, but for his sons. But if for his sons, it should have said, and he blessed them. 3:72. But Yosef implies to Malchut, the blessing of his sons, because his sons, Menashe and Ephraim, are Malchut, which is called Et Ov. And when his sons are blessed, he is blessed first. This is why it writes Yosef too, since a man's sons are his blessing. 3:73. And he blessed Yosef, et of, used in Hebrew before the word Yosef, implies to Malchut. He blessed as a sign of the covenant that Yosef, Malchut, kept. For this reason, the righteous, who is Yosef, is called et, and it says, et Yosef, of Yosef, because Yosef includes the covenant Malchut, which is with Yosef. 3:74. And Yaakov said, the God before whom my fathers Avraham and Yitzchak walked. The God is the Holy Covenant, Malchut, called Holy Covenant. Before whom my fathers, since my fathers were the first and highest before Malchut, since my fathers are Avraham and Yitzchak, Chesed and Gvura de Zirantin, were before Malchut and superior to her, because she is nourished by them and nurses that place, the Malchut. 3:75. The God who shepherds me. He said God a second time, because he blessed that place, Malchut, the living God, Bina, the source of life, from which the blessings stem. This is the reason why he mentioned himself in that place, saying, the God who shepherds me, since Yaakov, the middle line, receives all the blessings that extend from the source of life, Bina. Without him, the two lines of Bina cannot shine. And when he receives them, he receives this place, the Malchut, the blessings from him. And it all depends on the male, Yaakov. This is why it is written, and he blessed Yosef, where Et is the Malchut, who received the blessings from Yaakov, Ziranpin.
Well, what are you thinking? Should we read faster or slower? In order to have the right intentions, it can go either way. So what do you reckon? To whom does it help, like this or like that? Yes, Leo?
Slower. Yes.
It's even slower, and you're saying faster. Why are you saying faster? Tell me.
Faster because then it helps being more in intention, less adhered to the text.
Oh, okay. So if I hear the text too much, then that pulls me into the text, and then it's hard for me to ride with my intention on the text. So, to spoil the text a little bit, perhaps to hear it in a lower voice, lower intensity, so that it won't penetrate my ear forcefully, rather in such a... in a bit blurred, weaker way. Then I will be able to have more intentions, or I am supposed to hold my intention from within and to oppress the sound waves that are coming to me, or perhaps I need more time, that although I hear the text, so also during the time I am hearing the text in between the words to put my intentions into it. So perhaps it should be according to the altitude. So here we have the text, words, and voice. And here we have the intention. So perhaps you're saying that here we should have that the voice should be weaker. It can be one solution. Perhaps the text should be slower, read slower. That's another solution. What else? Well, let's see that. Let's clarify the matter.
To be more monotone.
To read it in a more monotonous way. What else can help the intention? Yes, Itzik? To read it in a more soft, in a more tender way. What else?
To return to the text like we do with Talmud es Sefirot.
So to repeat the text. Okay. So to repeat the text. More, please. Well,
from the Jerusalem group, maybe it's worthwhile putting music of Bala Sulam together with the reading of the Zohar.
Well, they're missing some more obstacles, so to use to combine the text with music of Bala Sulam. Perhaps something with rhythm, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Well, I'm not kidding. If it can help, so it can work.
When I was in Moscow, I was listening to the dubbing of the Zohar in Russian, and I don't understand Russian at all. And it didn't work so badly.
Great. So to hear the text in a foreign language. Perfectly fine. I wrote abundance instead of language. In a strange language. More.
Once we all read together as one man.
What do you mean, all of us together? You mean read it out loud? That's quite interesting, actually. So, to read together. Nessie, you're okay. More? See, it's not easy, isn't it? And we were just talking about the reading of the text. Nothing more.
To remember that we want to make a book out of this, it might help.
That we're going to make a book out of it.
That it's going to be used, that it's not just...
So this is what you're saying. The purpose of the reading, the purpose of the reading, well, it can be a book and other goals. Well,
go with Nessie. There's a few readers that each one reads one item, the next one reads the next letter, etc.
This is what we used to do when we studied with the Rabash. Well, there we had only about 10, 12, 15 people. Okay. And there weren't any talking or anything else. We were just reading the Zohar and that's it. That's it? Well, there's nothing in the internet. Yes, Meir? Well, scream, they will hear you.
It's impossible to hold this for a lot of time, but to be in...
But if we have, we hear it with our eyes closed. So to read the Zohar, to listen to the Zohar with your eyes closed.
Ilya from USA. To remember the intention during the lesson, during the reading.
So just another reminder about the intention during the reading of the text of the Zohar. Yes.
To read long parts of the text without stopping in the middle.
Well, how to write it down? To read this all in bigger parts in a sequence without any explanations. Okay.
Maybe we can connect words. Half the word before and half the word after that.
So to do something so that the text won't be clear.
Yeah, like connect the words. You have half the word before, half the word afterwards.
Whatever for, to make things unclear? No, but there's a problem here because we spoil the text like that. If it won't be clear, well, let me write it down this way. To create interferences while reading, or while hearing, even better. Well, I'm listening. So the reading of the text really pulls us into understanding it, and that disconnects people from having the intention, and that's a great problem.
Maybe it's worthwhile to, while reading, we'll look at the screens, and then when we see the groups all around the world, we'll remember we're together during the study.
So you're talking about intention. More?
Continuing about the successive reading. Read without doing the name of the... without the name of the items, without saying 376, 377, etc.
The number of the verse bothers you?
To make a reading in continuation, have continuity in the reading without the item numbers. It helps me when we're reading, when we hold each other's hands. Like in Shevet Achim, where we're all connected, it helps a lot. And then the reading will be monotonic.
A more monotonic reading. Okay. Our friend from Moscow. To mark every time that I'm reminded of the intention. That's good.
Two things. Don't say the name of the article, don't say the numbers of the items.
And also use drums.
And also use something like a drum beat under it.
Well, drums, tum-tum, great, something like that. I got it. Well, that's fine. It influences the heart beatings, the breathing, everything.
In terms of the intention, your direction helps a lot. And then, like that lesson that was last week, for a few minutes, you direct us. And that was very
powerful.
That was very intense.
When Rav is reminding us about the intention. More?
About reminding about the intentions when we're looking at the screens.
But you're looking at the book.
Not always looking at the book, but looking at the book and the screens.
So not just to look at the Rav, but in general. Not just the Rav reminding of the intention, but in general.
It brings me back to a blue light, to darkness. And I think it'll help with...
To light with some candles.
I think it'll help with the viewers as well. But making it dark, you know, with a blue light.
What is blue lightning? I don't know. What is it? Is it indigo or
something
what?
Like this? But it will bring us inside.
Something that will awaken you into spirituality. Okay, blue waves are closer to the upper light. Well, okay. So, reading in the dark. Well, there are many opinions. Well, Amikam, soon we will hear the opinion of the Torah.
Helps me a lot when we neutralize all the background noise.
What are background noises?
Like air conditioner, someone... blowing his nose, all these things.
So again, you're against me.
But the main thing is that the reader will sing it, to really sing it.
So first of all, there should be silent, quiet, that's clear. And you want the narrator, the reader, to sing. Well, the Torah is really read by singing.
In a Yemeni's accent.
It's a serious thing.
But doing it in a Yemeni's style, it'll be really influential.
Originally, everything was read with a tune. We don't know what these ta'amim, the signs above and below the letters, they're missing because we don't know how to use them. But once upon a time, it was clear to people, and if people understood the internality of the text, they knew the ta'amim, the signs that should be in the text. And then people carried it out. He's right. This is how it was done originally. But it's not practical for us yet. When we will feel the light that are coming into us and fulfilling the lights and the tanta of these lights, then we will be able to sing the text. You will need the tune. We put the tune according to the grammar and not according to the internality of the text. Yeah.
Hillel from Kfar Yona says that all the text should be on the screens, and there's also an advice that comes sometimes to read the text in Aramaic.
I'm listening. So if we would have read the text of the Zohar in Aramaic, then we would have been more into the intention, because out of our lack of understanding of Aramaic, then the text wouldn't have bothered us, and we will all be focused on the intention, and the text would have seemed something old, ancient, authentic, in a blue light, without any interferences, real, authentic background. And then we would have clothed on it from above our intentions and connected the text. Well, it sounds real nice. So we have to burn these Zohar booklets and perhaps the commentary of the letter as well. It's too intellectual. Well, I'm listening. I accept everything that you're saying. Because everything that bothers a person, of course, it's bad. Yes?
I'm talking about when I open the book, the color of the pages, it might help me a lot. Like with Talmud Sefirot, there is this kind of antique color. Like it feels like when you open it, there's something very important.
I got you. Well, you need the feeling of something more authentic, genuine. Is there something else?
With all the silence that Amikam was talking about, it's very important, because silence is a critical thing, because every little thing that disconnects you from the internal thing it's very bad. And also to break the monotone, the monotony of the reading of the text, where the reader will read at some points fast and suddenly slower, and then sometimes emphasizing each word and sometimes not emphasizing and sometimes stronger and weaker, and then break that monotony and break that sleep during the lesson.
Half of the advices here were to read the text in a more monotonous way, in a less clear and obvious way, so that it won't penetrate my ears and mind that much. And you're saying the opposite, to break down the text. Well, I'm listening. Yes, Itzik.
Maybe we can read in Hebrew, English, German, Russian, so that the whole world does it, and then also think about the friends, and also be in the same state where each one of us at some points doesn't understand the text.
So except for Aramaic, to read it in foreign languages as well. That would have helped the intention. Well, yes?
The monotony is excellent. Maybe we can bring down the volume of the reader.
Perhaps if you bring down the volume of the reader, then you will open up your ears even more, and you will be disconnected from the intention. Well, that's it, more or less, right?
to change the exercises that you do. Sometimes you talked about talking about the perception of reality. Other times you've talked about feeling the friends within, and think about what is the purpose of it, changing these exercises.
Together. So to constantly to arrange a bit of a different intention together, so that there will be some innovation in holding on to it. Well, I see that most of the things relate to the reading of the text, and this is where you think the problem is, and not in how to hold on to the intention. For me, that's the problem. How, in spite of all the obstacles during the reading, how to hold on to the intention? The intention depends on one's concern. If I know that through the reading I attain remedy, I'm being cured from a terrible disease, then I don't care. I'm inside the disease, I keep thinking about the disease only, how to get rid of it, and the reading becomes a secondary thing for me. The main thing is, when will the remedy, when will the cure come to me? So there is an external thing here. There's the books, paper, size, language, Aramaic, Hebrew, another external form of the group, me in them, reading in which sound, in which external conditions, higher, weaker, etc., louder. But the main thing is, how do we come to have this concern, this anxiety? How do we come to the need, to the necessity? So the necessity. I can do all kinds of exercises with you. Perhaps it's another waste of time. Perhaps we should. But if we will do what you suggested, it won't help us at all. At all. Put the voice lower or louder, read it in different languages and different conditions. It has nothing to do, nothing at all, will help us eventually. From all those things, I don't have enough colors to separate between them. But everything we have down here, all those things, are useless. It can't help us at all. People can shout, talk, mumble different languages, different rhythms, with tanta, with tamim, with tamim, it doesn't matter. If I don't have the concern, if I don't have the necessity, if I'm not burning from within, nothing will help me. So let us not look for a solution where we won't find it. The solution is only a concern in one's heart, and that can be done only through the influence of the environment, everyone on everyone else. All the rest, you won't feel at all which language you're reading in, what happened in which rhythm, nothing. It won't be something that you will notice at all. What does it matter if what matters to me to attain something, if he's reading or in which language or which rhythm, more or less light? It all doesn't make a difference, because this is not what I want. Not through that I receive the surrounding light. So it's very good that you've made a very nice chart here, very big chart here, but the solution is entirely, completely elsewhere. Otherwise, you will start singing the text nicely, like people do in the synagogue when they have someone, Chazan, who sings and prays with a beautiful voice, and people think that this way the prayers will rise up to heaven in a better way. A cantor in the synagogue. It's a good thing that we've thought about things together, but let's repeat it again so that it will be in us. To read in foreign languages, to read in Aramaic, to have silence during the lesson in all aspects, to read together each and every word like kids at school. To create obstacles while reading. And for listening without the number of the verses. What is it? The purpose of the reading is that we want to produce a book in the end. Okay? To read the softer, slower, louder, weaker, to repeat the text in a more monotonous way, to combine music of Baal HaSulam with the text, to listen to the text in a foreign language, to read without any explanations, to close our eyes, drums, reading in the dark. All these advices only indicate that I'm not holding on to the intention, because all that is perhaps then I will be more successful in holding on to it. No, no. Other obstacles will come to you. Other things will confuse us in thousand different ways. We have to make sure to rise above the obstacles. As we learn, the will to receive will grow. Why is he reading weak so silently? Why is he reading like this and like that? Every time we'll have something else. The will to receive keeps on growing, and we will never be able to strengthen our intention if we're not focused on it, if we're not working directly with our will to receive. So you understand the principle, right? We're not working on this will to receive. We are riding above it. We put intention above it. This is what we need. This is what we need to nourish. And the will to receive. Doesn't matter what happens with it. I have to be in faith above reason. Then I increase the importance of the group, of the environment, the creator, or makif, surrounding light, etc. Our entire work is here. Our entire work is here. And entirely not anywhere else. Is that clear?
The evening group. In the evening group, we made a decision because one of the friends that we felt that he felt that the group needs more unity. So we felt. If during the reading of the Zohar we take it as within the intention of bringing the friend back to the group because he's lacking us for us, he's not physically with the group, but he's lacking with us. So now we aim towards this goal together. Is this better than something else?
No, no. Prayer should be public prayer, the prayer of the many. I have to take care of the general intention, and inside the general intention, definitely all the details will be set as well. There's an article of the Rabash. I don't remember which one. Exactly, ask him a question, a similar question to that, about something else, and he wrote an article as a result. Should I ask for something private, personal, something small, something minor, or for everything, for nourishment, health? Well, of course, we're talking about spirituality, or about something general. So the conclusion, I really don't remember which article was it, what should a person pray for? This is the name of the article. So he writes that eventually prayer should be for the general purpose, because all troubles come from there. And of course then, when you're thinking about it, about this general purpose, then all private problems will be resolved. So although we have people in different problems, etc., some of them we know, some of them we don't know, but in our prayer we want to correct ourselves correspondingly to the Creator, and that covers everything. So it's not you who know what to pray for or not, and what bothers your ego, and you think like this or like that. You will have a discussion and you will see about this friend or something else. You will hear many different contradicting opinions. But when we're talking about the general goal, so again, we reach the same conclusion. Here is the general conclusion. And this is where we're all focused on. We're all focused on that. And then, leave everything you have down here. And be focused on the end, on the place where we connect. We live while reading the Zohar in the place where our unity, our connection is, where it is. We want to be in there, in that, because this is a higher level. This is where we want to be. This is what we want to feel. We are there as one man with one heart. This is what I want to reveal, period. That's it. I don't care about the text, the reader, the language, silence, light, darkness. I don't care about anything. This is where I want to be. All the rest does not exist. And now let's move on to the next part of the lesson.
Now we're going to the next part of the lesson, Talmud Sefirot.